They get free food there too, yes. You better get everything free for like a year. I want to talk to you this morning. We've been talking about vision. 2020, we've been talking about having a 2020 vision. Vision to see in 2020. And as we've gone through this, we've had some discussion about Jesus healing blind people to give them sight. We talked about blind Bartimaeus, that he comes and Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? And everybody, you need to ask the Lord, what do you want him to do for you this year? What do you want God to do for you? What this wave maker, this way maker, this miracle worker, what do you want him to do for you this year? What do you want to believe for and exercise your faith toward this year? And he said, I want to see. I want to have sight. He wanted to have vision. God wants to give all of us vision. We realized also as we went on in our series here that God is the God of this age has blinded people. They're blinded. They don't see anything. They don't see things correctly. And I ask again today that go on our app or on our homepage at Living Faith, livingfaithfellowship.com. And I want you to watch the Vision 2 message, if you can. If you haven't seen it, please watch it, because I showed a video on that of how is our thinking in America gone the way it's gone. And why does the God of this age, and how could he blind us when we're Christians and we're strong and we know the word, he can still blind our thinking if we're not vigilant to keep moving. So I would love it if you would watch that. We realize that God opens eyes. The devil wants to open your eyes too, but he wants to open them to the things of the world. But God wants to open them to the things of the Spirit, the things that are spiritual, the things you can't really see in the natural mindset, but that are spiritual. That moving of God that you can't see, he's doing something. He's moving on your behalf because he loves you. We said that healing spiritual blindness brings us an aha moment in our walk with God. And God wants to give us those aha moments where things finally click. We said the devil is so ruthless, he gives you the ha-ha moments. He leads you in the wrong direction, and after you're trapped in it, he just mocks you with ha-ha-ha. You're stuck someplace you shouldn't be. But God wants to give you that sight in the Spirit to see what he's doing where things begin to click for you. We talked about the servant of Elisha last week. And he said this, what shall I do? He was surrounded by the enemy. What shall I do? And then Elisha gave him three or four things that he should do. Number one, don't fear. Number two, pray. Number three, let God open your eyes to see what the Spirit is doing around you. And then don't lock onto a resolution that you think should happen, but allow God to do his will. He just might surprise you in what he does. So I want to continue on for about, I just have about a 15 or 20 minute message here. In Proverbs 29:18. If you wouldn't mind standing, let's read the word of the Lord together. It's just one verse. Proverbs 29:18, we're talking about a 2020 vision. Say it with me. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Maybe see it. I just want to just go over this one phrase. This one phrase. Where there is no vision, where there is no vision, the people perish. The word vision here is kazon. Not cow, or not like, what are those things you eat, Carrie? Yeah, calzones. It means sight, but it means this mental sight, or if you will, this something on the inside, not just natural eyesight. It means a dream, a revelation, an oracle. Something that God has placed in your heart, a dream, a vision, an idea, a hope. Maybe it's for something for you to be, or maybe for some resolution or outcome to happen in your life, or maybe you need help in an area, and we get a vision, we get a direction, we're asking the Lord for insight. And he says, where there is no vision, the people perish. The word vision means more than just, as I said, natural sight. It means that, it goes on to say this, it comes from a root word that means to perceive, to contemplate with pleasure. To have vision of. to contemplate, to perceive. It's the, I get it. It's, if you will, kind of that aha moment a little bit. A vision to see out ahead, a vision to look forward, a vision to be excited about something. And you begin to perceive it. You sense it in your spirit. You're looking out there. You see a direction from the Lord. The Lord is speaking to you, or you have a desire for something, and you see something. You can kind of start to visualize seeing it happen, and you start to pray and believe and move toward it with your actions. But you have a vision. You have a direction. You just know something in your knower. I just know this to be true. I know this is what God wants me to do. And then I begin to move forward on it. You see, vision is what guides and directs you through life. He's saying here, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, where there isn't that thing that kind of keeps you moving along, keeps you going straight, if you don't have that, it says that you perish. I'm going to get into another translation here, but I love this idea of vision directing me and driving me through life. The vision is it's the kind of vision that allows you to see what can't be seen. It's a thing that drives you to keep going, to keep moving, because you believe, you sense it inside of your heart. You see something and you're excited to go after it. We have so many people in our world today that are visionless. They just simply go with whatever's happened and live the next day. Wah, wah, wah. Instead of some excitement for getting up because you know God's doing something, working on you, preparing you, and moving you. Maybe you don't have the totality of the vision. You don't see all of it, but you see bits and pieces of it. And that's what drives you. It keeps you moving. I think about a vision. It takes you from like a two-wheel driver to a four-wheel driver. You got 4x4. Have you ever, how many people have driven around the snow and you're in two-wheel trying to go up a hill? How does that work? Not, and I still, people try it all the time. I go, where are you from? Not from snow country. Oh, no, I'm from Hawaii. I just thought I could go right up there. Yeah, see this white stuff? It's like oil. It's slippery. It puts you into four-wheel drive. It's like you're moving along, and all of a sudden, you see, because in life there's going to be hills, there's going to be challenges, there's going to be things you're going to go, I don't think I can do that. I don't think I can climb that. I don't think I can get there. But vision. Vision's a thing. You know, is anybody here a four-wheel drive nut that loves to do four-wheel drive, kick it in four-wheel drive, and then see how muddy you can get your car or your truck, actually? You come back and the muddier the better. It's this idea that they, oh my gosh, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. I can get through this mud puddle. I can make it up that mountain. I can do this. And there's this excitement, this adventure of a challenge before them and the excitement of accomplishing it. Here's a little video that I saw about a four-wheel drive trying to hit almost a straight up cliff. Look at this. That is way straight up. How many think it would be fun to be in that car? How many think it would not be fun to be in that car? Yeah, you can tell who all the thrill seekers are. How many would like to be in that car if you didn't own it and didn't have to pay for it if you damaged it? Yeah, that would be fun. Still not too many takers because they're worried about going over, right, and tumbling. You know, there's always that risk. There's always that thought, well, what if it doesn't work? What if we stall out? What if it goes back? What if I tumble? There's always risk to life. To get up in the morning, you have a risk. You could hurt something. Something could happen bad. But also, there's the excitement of a bunch of stuff could happen great. Stuff could happen outstanding. We need to understand that vision is that thing that kicks our vehicle, our life, into four-wheel drive that gives us the power, the energy, the excitement to climb things that seem like they are impossible. Now, if we took Carrie's Malibu at the base of that hill and started to go up there, we would get about 6 inches. That would be it. Probably because there's so much damage done by the Patriot guy over here that on your car. Do you see what I'm saying? What vision does? Vision pulls you. Vision carries you through. Vision excites you. Vision brings dynamic and exciting thoughts and possibilities into your life. But most people aren't dreaming for something. What do you see out there? What's the vision God's given you? What do you want to see accomplished with your life? Who wants to be born, died, hallelujah. There's a bunch of stuff in the middle there that I hope is we write about. Some exciting stuff that we did. Some people we influenced. Some lives that God changed because you were alive. Because you were alive and you ministered and you cared and you loved on and you saw a person who was caught in an addiction or in trouble or so many issues of ministry that needed and you helped a person, you see them become healthy and thriving and growing in God and you go, wow, I'm glad I was here. That's what Christ came to do, right? All the people, their lives changed because he was involved in it. And then he asked us, hey, go and do this. I'm going to give you even more power to do more things for my glory. He's asking us, do we want to kick our life into a four-wheel drive? The word perish here, where there is no vision, the people perish. That word means to loosen, to expose, to dismiss, to absolve. And it's kind of like, I thought it meant like to die or whatever. No, it means almost to just let go. You let go of your drive. You let go of your excitement. You just loosen up and just let go of everything. You just don't care. That's what the word is trying to say here. Let me give you another translation. It's the New King James. It says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. They just don't care about their walk. They just throw it away. You see people in a depressive state, they turn to alcohol or drugs or sex or something else, and you realize they start to just throw their life away, it seems like. They're just casting off the restraints. They're casting off everything because they feel hopeless and they feel helpless. And that's where vision is supposed to drive us through and give us excitement about what could be, what God might do, what God can do. And even in the impossible situations, you may be thinking, man, I'm in an impossible situation right now. It's so tough, and that's why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. It just, oh, no, no, no. There isn't the word impossible with God. He's a miracle worker. He'll work a miracle in your life. He just needs you to click it from two-wheel drive to four-wheel drive, to get excited about the adventure, to get excited about the climb, to get excited about the impossible. They can't do that. You know why that four-wheel drive thing, that whatever doom buggy or whatever it is going up that thing? Because somebody told them they couldn't do it. I don't think a car or a motorized vehicle could get to the top of that. And then somebody said, oh yeah, watch this, and boom. We need to go, oh yeah? You can't do this, you couldn't be that. You don't know who my God is. You don't know who my God is. I have a God who's powerful, who's awesome, who's passionate about me, who gives me power and direction and vision. He gives me and tells me, I can do it, I can make it, I can get out of this addiction, I can get out of this problem, I can climb this mountain, I can do that which I never thought could be done, and that's what God does. He gets us excited about getting out of bed every morning because he's got something for you. His mercies are new every morning. He's got something great in store for you. He just needs you to have vision to see it, to see that which you can't see because you see it here. What vision do you have? What vision do you see? Some of you may say, well, I'm 90 years old. I can't see too good. That's not what I'm talking about, but you know, God's not done with you yet. Mr. Nordquist, God's not done with him, man. He was at the men's breakfast on Saturday. He comes to the men's breakfast on Saturday, and I'm going, wow, here's a man, I don't know, 90s, he's still got vision. my life matters. I can give something away, and also I can receive something and grow. Hallelujah. Cast off restraint. The word restraint here means a measure or condition that keeps someone or something under control or within limits. You see, God honestly is trying to get us to focus. He's trying to put some limits on us. Instead of we're just scattered all over the place and depressed about everything, he tries to give us purpose. He tries to give us some structure, and he begins to limit and challenge us to move through to obtain the objective that we're after. He limits it. You see, it's the channeling of water through a turbine that begins to create energy and electricity. It's the funneling of it. It's the funneling of atoms through a device that creates the laser that all of a sudden it's just focused light. It's powerful. It cuts stuff. God wants to begin to focus you. He says, don't cast off restraint. Don't cast off the things I put in your life to kind of keep some boundaries on you, to keep you focused, to keep you going in the right direction, to funnel you so that the energy can be magnified. Don't get mad when all of a sudden, Lord, it seems like it's confining a little bit, this walk with you. Oh, remember, we're going to climb that mountain. That thing straight up, I'm going to get you there. I'm going to get you there. But you can't cast off restraint. God, get out of my life. Get off my back. Just leave me alone. But every time he comes as a father to correct or to encourage or to, you can do it, and says, maybe not that way. Let's funnel this out. It's for your good. It's because he loves you. The ESV version says this, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. A vision that comes from God. The NIV says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. And I like this one in the New Living Translation. That's actually the translation I'm reading this year. The New Living Translation. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. But I see it all the time. You see people that turn their back on the Lord and we literally run wild. We do things we shouldn't be doing. We do things that damage our body or damage our health, damage our mind, that begin to damage us because we're casting off the restraint. We're running wild. We need to be focused and channeled. You need that same vigor and but channeled into the purposes and power of God. He'll do amazing things in your life. He's speaking to you. He wants to give you vision. Have you asked him, Lord, give me a big vision. What do you want me to do, Lord? Give me vision. Give me vision. Give me vision. I think that having vision is critical. If you were playing football, it would be critical to have vision, wouldn't it? I got to bring these back. These are some Super Bowl highlights of a particular team.
Russell in the pocket. Russell for Kearse, and it's broken up again. And is it, but somehow, did he wind up with a football?
That's exactly what happened, isn't it?
How did he do
Kearse
that?
Kearse goes for it.
Don't take your eye off the...
It's still not on the ground. It's still not on the ground.
Don't take your eye off the ball.
Look at that.
Oh, my. Phenomenal. I can't believe he didn't get up and get in the end zone in time.
58 yards in his one regular season game.
The Broncos, his former team, called the Massacre.
And they just pop it up. Good kick by Prater on a hop. It's Harvin, but now he takes off. And Percy,
I think you need
Harvin
vision to know which way to cut, which way to go.
Percy Harvin inside the 30. He's going to go. Touchdown, Seattle.
I think you need some vision there.
He's hit seven different receivers. And now Percy, what a catch. Touchdown. Unbelievable.
Just wanted us to remember. It can happen to you. It can. Remember. I think about vision in a football team. They have to have vision, right? Can you imagine if we blindfolded a quarterback and had him throw balls? I was going to have Calvin, where are you, Calvin? I was going to have you come up. I was going to blindfold him and have Calvin throw the ball at the trash can and see if he could get it in. But I'm going to tell you what I was going to do, Calvin, just because I repented here. Calvin, where are you? Are you here somewhere? There you go. Great. I was gonna spin him around, and say, you know, and put the garbage can over up there again, and then spin around and have him face that way out there, and say, okay, go ahead and throw it. And then he would have thrown that away. We would have all laughed. He would have been embarrassed. He would have taken me out and then hurt me. And so I decided, I don't want to do that. So Calvin, don't hurt me. I'm saying is, can you imagine if we blindfolded a quarterback and he played football? Isn't that the stupidest thing you can imagine? Here he is playing this game. We blindfold him. You're going, you're an idiot. Do you understand that we're playing a game called life and we got blindfolds on? We don't have any vision. We're just throwing things aimlessly down life. We don't have any vision for what does God want? What direction do I throw? What direction do I go? I think it's interesting. A couple of analogies, 5 point about vision from kind of football here. You see, a QB needs vision. He sees his open receiver, but he doesn't have vision just to see where he is. He has to see where he's going to be, right? Because if I throw to where he is, it's going to get picked off. I have to throw to where he is going to be. I got to have vision to look ahead, to know where he will be. We need vision not only to know where we are, but vision to see where we should be in the future. Vision not only to see where you are today, you need to see that, but you need vision to see where you should be in the future. Then we need to exercise the strength and fortitude to get there. We need to see the vision out ahead. It's like a quarterback does the same way. The quarterback also needs vision to see the defense that's coming after him. Have you seen Russell Wilson? You know, when he does that little duck and spin around, the duck and little spin around, you know, and people are coming and our defenders are coming after him and he's trying to scramble and he's trying to get after out of that. We need vision to see what the obstacles the enemy puts up in our way. We need vision to see, wow, you know what? This issue, this problem, this dynamic that's going on, you know, that's an attack of the enemy. The enemy is trying to discourage me by doing this. You see, men and women of great vision know that if you set a vision, the enemy is going to attack you. He's going to go on the defense to try to get you not to accomplish the vision or the goals or the directives that you have for your life. But a person of wherewithal will understand this is of the enemy, and therefore he won't play its game and just go, oh, I want to go home. The enemy's playing with me. Instead, he goes, wait a second. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to react like this because God's got a direction. God's got a vision for me. I'm going to change the way I do. Sometimes a QB might have to scramble a little bit, right? I put here, we need vision to see the obstacles the enemy puts in our way. The quarterback, when he sees it, he starts to scramble. And believe me, if I know anything about these two quarterbacks today that are going to be playing, you're going to see him scrambling, running all over the place. And you know what happens? I played on defense. You know what happens when a quarterback scrambles and you don't get the sack and he runs for 27 or 30 or 40 yards? It makes the defense furious. It makes the defense tired. It makes him tired when he's running around so much. I want to frustrate and tire out the enemy. I'm not going to give in to him. Sometimes, folks, you have your vision and where it is, and it's not seem to be going right. You need to scramble some. You need to scramble some. You got to keep going. You can't just, I'm just going to get tackled and go down. No, I need to scramble. We get tackled so easy. We go, oh, and we just fall down. Instead of, by gosh, I'm not going down. You know, when Marshawn Lynch runs, it's like he doesn't believe he's going to go down when you tackle him. He just doesn't believe that. And most of the times, he's right. Do we have that same tenacity with our vision? I'm not going down when the enemy comes after me. Thirdly, a running back, he needs vision to see the open hole and to make the cuts. It's like, oh, They're blocking, but the hole's over. So he understands that they're blocking, but that's where I was going to go, but all the defense went that way, so the offense keeps blocking them that way, and then he goes a different hole. He goes a different direction. He has to make a cut. He has to make a decision change. He has to, a course correction. And I said this, we need vision to know when to change our course of action. If you're just beating your head against something, it's not working, maybe you need to try a different course of action in accomplishing your goal, your vision, your direction that the Lord has given you. Also, a quarterback, he has to believe that his line is going to block for him, right? I'll tell you, I think the hardest thing for me as a quarterback, if I were to play quarterback, thank God I didn't. I played when I was in fourth grade, but that was it. When that quarterback drops back and they form the pocket and he stays in the pocket, then he has to know how to stay in the pocket because the offensive guys know, block him out this way. And then what's going to happen is they're not going to get him usually this way, but they'll come back from the backside and they'll start to get him. So then you got to know to be in the pocket, you guys are protecting you, and then you got to step up in the pocket and they'll continue to protect you as you throw the ball. But a QB has to rely on somebody else to protect him. Somebody else to make sure he doesn't get tackled. A running back must trust the offensive line that's blocking for him, right? I mean, can you imagine? You don't want to make your offensive lineman mad at you because they simply go get him. That can hurt. But the quarterback, the offensive lineman has to trust the rest of the guys that are in the game blocking for him, protecting him, helping him. It's interesting that the Tennessee Titans offensive line helped pave the way for running back Derrick Henry to lead the NFL in rushing this season, so he decided to return the favor. After racking up 1,540 yards and 16 touchdowns on 303 carries over 15 games in the regular season to win the rushing title, the former Alabama star purchased Rolex watches for each of the Titans' 5 starting offensive linemen. That's the way you keep them blocking for you. Henry goes, "What time is it?" They all go, "It's time to block for you." He ain't stupid. And you know what? He's not stupid because he understands. There they're all opening up their Rolexes. He understands, you know what? I don't make all those yards. I don't accomplish my vision without you guys. I don't accomplish my vision without you guys there in the trenches. Because when the game's going to be played, they're going to say, my name, Derrick Henry, 10 yards, Derrick Henry, 15 yards, Derrick Henry, another touchdown, Derrick Henry. They're going to keep going. And going, and going, and talking about him, and the linemen are never going to be mentioned except at the very start where they go, John Floyd, Paducah, Ohio. I mean, that's it. That's all you know. Oh, okay, who cares? He's just big, scary. We don't know their name. We don't know most of the lineman's name. We all know the quarterback and the running back. They're the no-namers. I'll tell you what, he would have gotten 0 yards had they just let everybody through and said, play by yourself. We'll have the center, the quarterback, and you. Run. Run for us, run. Yeah, you better. Here's my point here. To fulfill a great vision, you can't do it by yourself. To fulfill a great vision, you can't do it by yourself. I'll tell you what, if you just let the line through, you just let them through, what would happen is you'd be a sitting duck. You'd be a sitting duck if they didn't block and do their job. The word sitting duck is a person or thing with no protection against an attack or other source of danger, a person or thing with no protection against an attack or other source of danger. A sitting duck. You see, lack of vision causes you to be a sitting duck that the devil picks off. You're a sitting duck. I'll just do it by myself. You're a sitting duck. You're a sitting duck. The enemy always looks for one. When you see coyotes or wolves, whatever, and they come to a herd of animals, what do? Attack them all! They don't do that. They can't. They go, find one. And usually it's the littlest one, the weakest one. Find him, and we all go after him. We all go after him. They go after the one. Cut it off from the herd. Be alone. Sometimes we think, well, just me and Jesus, and I'm going to fulfill. No, you're not. You need others. You need others in your life. You need other people that are helping you, encouraging you, mentoring you, that are there for you. Let me conclude. To fulfill a great vision, you can't do it by yourself. It takes teamwork. Teamwork is needed to have a winning team. One great player alone is not any good at all. We could have the MVP. Oh, that was who was that for the Ravens? Who? Lamar Jackson. Put him up there against 11 defensive people. He ain't gonna look too good. So one great player alone is not good. 11 players is not enough. 22 players is not enough. 53 players on their roster, it's not enough, because we need the 10 practice squad players. We need 63 players, but that's not enough. You need the coaches, you need the trainers, you need the strength and conditioning coaches, yay. You need the equipment personnel, you need the travel personnel, you need the front office, the back office, the administrative personnel. You need lots of people. What vision has God given you? Have you got one? If you haven't, take some time to get in his presence and go, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to accomplish? Maybe it's just keep walking, keep going, but grow, grow. You can always grow in your faith, grow in your knowledge of Christ, grow in your wisdom of the scriptures, and this will help you as you keep moving, because then he gives you a little piece and another little nugget and another little thought. You just keep moving and moving and moving. I never thought in my younger years I would ever be a pastor of a church. That wasn't my thought. But when I got saved, I did have a goal. I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to grow. I want to grow. And then God used that desire down the line. And he uses people, and he grew me with other people. All of you have grown me. You guys have grown me. This isn't a one-man show here. We need all of you. I need you. I need you to speak into my life, to encourage me, to help correct me, to grow me. I want to reach what God has called me to do. Sometimes it's really scary. But when I look at all your faces, I go, gosh, I'm so blessed. I'm so privileged. It's the teamwork that makes the dream work, right? Our 2020 vision to see more and more people saved and more on campus and more families helped and developed and more missions done and more wells dug. Vision. Let's do it. Let's do something. We look back, we made a mark on someone's life. Someone who's walking 5 minutes to the well rather than 3 or 4 hours. We made a difference. We made a difference. Or the person who was partying and life was going down the tube and his grades were going bad and everything, and finally realizes I need a different start, and people reach out to them and love them and care about them and encourage them. And hey, why don't you come to the Carpenter Series? And they start to learn, and then they get saved, and then learn about the Holy Spirit and realize the power of God that's in them and begin to grow and understand that God has a plan, a purpose, a vision, a calling on my life. And all of a sudden, this person that was going nowhere and despair and depression, all of a sudden God's put vision and breathed life into them, and they're excited about where they're going. They don't maybe know it all together here, but they're excited about what they're learning about God is so good. And we need to do more of that. Everyone on the winning team, we need everyone for the victory. Everyone for the victory. Even the practice squad. Those guys don't even play in the game. The practice squad. You know, a practice squad member makes $8,000 a week. Not too shabby. They win a Super Bowl, most of them get a ring. They get a Super Bowl rings. The league gives them all a Super Bowl ring. They give them 150 Super Bowl rings to a team. They'll pay $5,000 to give them 150 rings. If you want the ring to be more expensive than that, then the owner has to pay for it. Most expensive ring, by the way, $36,500. Do we have a picture of it? There it is. Don't mess with my car now because I put your picture up there. Don't mess with it. I think their Super Bowl 51 ring has 283 diamonds in it. 283 diamonds to commemorate their comeback. They were down 28-3. 283. What marks will you make in life? And you look back, yeah. That happen. I was involved in ministry. I changed lives. I was a TA. I was a Bible 101 or a 201 or 301 401 teacher or a grader. I graded these people's paper, and I poured out heart and my soul in here, and all of a sudden they began to change, and their lives were different, and you made a mark on somebody's life. Just by you being here, new people that come in, you make a mark on their life by the wisdom and all of you placed into this house over the years. That we can do what we can do. All of you that give, we can do what we can do because you're helping. Here at Living Faith Fellowship, as I said, we're not a one-man show. It takes many people make what happens here happen on Sunday and every other day of the week, and all the volunteers that are everywhere. And I just want to thank all of the volunteers that help and do, and everybody that's involved in ministry and the staff. And I just want to give you a hand. You're the one that's making the dream work. You are. Today, as we dismiss, it's our opportunity to get other people on board. We need everyone here, everyone doing something. You're going to have an opportunity to join, maybe a team spot someplace. We got all sorts of volunteer crews everywhere, and they're going to announce it here in just a moment with our closers here. But think about it. Where might God join you someplace to help out, to be a part, to make a mark? As you continue, make sure you spend some time with the Lord. Hear his voice. Ask him what his vision is for your life. Then run after it with everything you've got. Put it in four-wheel drive and enjoy the adventure. God bless.